It is that place in downtown Fresno where since 1955, Christ leads, people care, and lives have been changed. Welcome to Heartline, the weekly radio voice spotlighting the Evangel Home of Fresno. As I mentioned, since 1955, the Evangel Home ministering to women and children in crisis. Your Heartline host every week on the program is Jim Tuck. Here he is.
Well, thank you so much, Ken Adams. God bless you, my brother. And as we come into the Christmas season, may this one be a delightful one for you. Jerry Brenneman, you're Jim. The director of everything Evangel Home. We're in your office, and it's you and me. So let's talk about Christmas at Evangel Home. Let's start there and see where this goes.
Okay. Did you see our beautiful living room when you came in?
The
beautiful
I did.
Tree? That's sort of as our season beginner. Each major part of the home has a tree. The women in the apartments have their own. But we have one here in the crisis home that the women decorate, one in the garden that they decorate, and then one in the community room, which is in the apartments, sort of the big gathering spots. And one, I walked around the other day, Jim, looking at each of those trees, and I was amazed at how well each tree captures the living environment of where it is. Mm. So the one here in the crisis home is a little more, it's a little more frantic, it's a little busier, there's more stuff under it, you know, there's the nativity scene on the piano. The one in the garden, which, you know, that home was built in 1911, and it's the gals this year put it in front of the window, which they've never done before. They closed the curtains, and the curtains are this kind of heavy-duty red, vintage sort of curtains at work. It looks gorgeous in there. Mm. And it's serene, and it's quiet, you know, and that's the house with no children, and that's exactly what the women need. And when I was down there the other day, and one of them who helped decorate was just sitting by the tree talking about what a dream that was. Mm. And I thought, yeah. And it looked like a dream. It really did.
Yeah.
So, and then the community room, when I went over there, they were sort of, I don't want to say arguing, but they were discussing how to decorate it, which is very typical of that group. So I thought every tree really captures the feeling of where it is. I love that. And then we have wonderful Christmas sponsors this year who'll take care of our gals in the programs. We have wonderful programs. We have all of that activity and all of that stuff, but somehow we need to keep boiling that off, mm. boiling what's in the on the kettle down to its essence, which is the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's the balance that staff has to really keep during this season too, that we want to provide so much specialness for our women. But the real specialness is just that they open their heart and let him in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It really is the point. The rest of it's just
fluff
yeah. and dressing. And
you know, I don't want to say fluff.
Right.
That was wrong, because it's kindness. When I think of all the things people do to show his love to our women, I cannot dismiss that. I can just be guarded against the frantic pace that can happen in here, like it does to all of us.
Sure. The tyranny of the urgent.
Yes, and we complain about traffic out there. Well, that's kind of what it gets like in our hearts and in our own environment. It's like you just are at a standstill, or you're getting grouchy or whatever. But so we have to really guard against that.
Yeah. And I think we have to guard against that in our own lives. Like you say, all the stuff that's going on, we have to take that time to set aside and just get in the right place with God's word and our prayer life and love God. The first commandment, love God with everything you've got. And then the second one, kind of like that, love people like mm-hmm. you love as much as mm-hmm. you love yourself. And if that's the grid through which we filter our life, priorities kind of fall into place after that.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're right, we have no way to establish our priorities. Mm-hmm. And that's probably one of the biggest things that happens to our women. They don't have a clue how to do priorities
mm-hmm.
Of time or emotions or people or activities. And, you know, one of the things that we're, as I'm jumping around right now, thinking of our women and asking for prayer requests for those, especially this time of year, that we know the holidays can be hard on people. And I think sometimes they're doubly hard on our people. Some of our women who have been sober for the first time in many years at a holiday time, that'll be new to them. And how they deal with emotions and all that will be new to them. So we need some prayer warriors on their side.
Yeah. You know, what I think about this time of year, there are the, it's only peripherally related to our conversation here, but people who have lost loved ones in this recently, in this last year, experiencing Christmas for the first time without that loved one, that can be a difficult adjustment as well.
Yes, and I hope that those who are listening or those who are here, that first time, in my experience anyway, I think it is crucial to embrace that person you've lost. Mm-hmm. Maybe set a place for them at the table. I don't know. Some people go and do things like that. But I remember the first Christmas without my father. We did an envelope on the tree for donations for something he loved, and that was, you know, mm-hmm. that was one thing we did. He is interred at Chapel of the Light, and I remember them having a Christmas ornament decorating time for people who had lost loved ones in the previous 2 years or something. And my mother and I went out there, and how good that was for her to stand there for a while trying to figure out how to decorate this little clear ball. Mm. And I remember her saying, do you think this is right? Do you think it? So and finally thinking, you know, it doesn't really matter is what she said, but those sort of reflecting on your loss but with other people is so important. And then, you know, St. Agnes did a similar thing for patients who had been there in that year. We went to that with the family. And so I think the worst thing we can do with that is to shut that person out and to not mention them and to not do anything. Just, you know, keep them going.
Yeah, well, that's the way we handle it at my house with my folks and my siblings and all of that. That's the way we do that. But hey, you know, we're just kind of going stream of consciousness here because
we love it.
Yeah,
I do.
And the thought that came to my mind is as we share what's going on here and the importance of values and all. Tell a little bit about your spiritual journey, about your coming to faith and the progress, maybe some epiphanies in your spiritual understanding through the years.
Wow. It's moving right along. My epiphany was an anti-belief. And I was raised a Christian and never, ever, ever doubted a thing. And then I remember literally, and it probably didn't quite happen like this, but waking up one morning when I was about 17, and thinking, what if none of this is true? Mm. Ooh, I didn't even want to think that. That was just a horrible thought to me. You know, get out of my mind, pray, read, whatever. I couldn't get it out of my mind. And, you know, then I go to college, and that's the 60s time and the anti-everything time. And I stopped going to church during that whole time. And one of the things that bothered me, Jim, most with my thought of what if none of this is true, no one would answer me. No one that I really respected in that area could give me any answer other than I shouldn't think that way. Mm. Or, you know, read this scripture and it'll go away. Well, it doesn't. You really need to face doubt honestly. Anyway, during that whole time, I never didn't believe in Jesus. I didn't believe in what the church was telling me. And, you know, I think that was sort of my Hindu, Buddhist, not really, but thinking about all those other religions. And if I'm a Christian, well, what about all those people who are going to hell? And I was wrestling with all of that. And so that goes on for a period of 12 years, 13 years or whatever. And then several things converged at once.
Where were you professionally during this time?
I was either teaching or I was at, let me see, in 1980 is really when I gave my life to Christ again. So during that time, it was mostly teaching and doing some criminal justice kind of stuff.
Okay.
So 1980 comes along, and I was at Reedy College working there, and one of the counselors who I really, really liked, and she was just a wonderful Christian woman, she kind of began to throw things out there at me, like, you know, what about this, what about that? And then I remember I would go into her office, close the door, and say, okay, what about this? And because of her, then I started going back to church. Mm. Every church I went to was every reason I didn't want to go to church. Mm. So I ended up at First Presbyterian Church on the first Sunday of Lent in about 1986. And I really liked it. And I thought, well, maybe this should be my Lenten promise. I'll come every Sunday during Lent and then I'll decide. Mm. So during that time, I also, my best friend was stopping at my house every Monday night on her way to Bible study fellowship. We'd have dinner and we would talk. And I would argue with her. Well, if I'm a Christian, what about the Hindus and Buddhists? I'm also reading the book Anna Karenina at that time. Took me 2 years to finish that book, but I finished it just about the time I asked my best friend that question. And in the book, one of the main characters, that's his question. If I'm a Christian, what about the Hindus and Buddhists? And the answer to him was, he can't worry about them. His heart, he has been called to be a Christian. That was very freeing to me. So I didn't ask that question anymore. That was no longer the excuse for me not to move forward on my faith. So all those pieces are coming together. And, you know, you look back and you really see God threading that needle and pulling, making the picture, making the tapestry. And then a couple more years go by, and I see that the previous director here had passed away. That was 1987. And I didn't think, oh, I'm going to go get that job. I hardly knew what Evangel Home was. But that was one little awareness now that there was a need out here. So about the same time, I ended up with pneumonia and was home for a while. And, you know, you get bored at home and you read everything and the backs of the cereal boxes and the toothpaste boxes.
Ingredients on the jelly.
And so I read my church newsletter about third time through. I saw this little paragraph that said, Evangel Home is still looking for a director. And I got goosebumps. And I thought, oh, that's where I'm going to go next. I've had those goosebumps two or three times in my life, and I know exactly what those are. And it took a long time to get here. It was like a nine-month process after I had applied. And then when I came here, as I've told the story before, I thought God made a terrible mistake because I was so ill at ease, and I felt I had to be somebody I'm not. I called my pastor, and he said, don't forget, when God calls, he equips. That again gave me the freedom to keep going. And Jim, I love the story of my faith is certainly not a direct line. It's kind of all over. But one of the things I know in my heart, I know forever and ever, it will be my testimony forever, I'm here because he's working on me. Many people could have been the director here. He put me here to work on me. And that's plain and simple. I would not have the faith I have today, I really don't think, if I weren't here having to use it. And that's the danger when we don't use our faith. We just kind of roll along with it. That won't work.
But I love that lesson that God doesn't so much call the equipped as he equips the called. He calls and then equips. Thanks for sharing that, Jerry.
I hope that's
meaningful for our listening friends. We're out of time, but now I know Jerry a little bit better.
And
that's fun to do.
If people might have any questions about that or want to share or talk, I would love for them to call and ask.
559-264-4714. Ken, I trust you, brother, to make our conversation into a radio program. And thanks for joining us, friends, on this edition of Heartline from Evangel Home of Fresno.
Reach the Evangel Home by phone in the 559 area code 264-4714. Again, 264-4714. If you're online and just about the entire human race is these days, find the Evangel Home at evangelhome.org. And please make it a point of joining us next time for the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno, Heartline.